Today on Real Radio.
Many marriages today are in peril because one or the other of the husbands and wives have not joined the battle in sealing off the world from coming into the house. And then spiritually unites. It spiritually unites the two together before the Lord. Emotionally binds them, physically builds a wall around them, and spiritually unites them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're hearing a mini-series taken from the first 8 verses of chapter 5. Now, this is a section of Scripture where Paul gets very specific. In fact, he gets specific about a very specific sin in the camp. Now, this mini-series can be considered a worldview study in the area of one of God's most sacred ordinances that goes all the way back to creation and how that ordinance is very often abused. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his mini-series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners.
I know churches, I could mention them by name. I won't do it, so don't ask me. But you can be living with your girlfriend, or you can be sleeping with multiple guys, and you can go to that church and be rest assured and be at peace. You'll never, ever hear a message that will cause you to be convicted about your lifestyle. You can go to that church forever, and it's not going to bother you. And yet God says those who practice those things, listen, those who live in that style, it says, the word is the ethos, those whose ethos, lifestyle is like that shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Don't you think that's serious? Do you think that's important? Does anybody love the person who is engaged in such activity? If somebody loves them, they're going to throw them a life raft. But no, we live in a culture where you don't say things. The church at Corinth said, don't say anything about that. In fact, if you can't deal with the problem, if you refuse to deal with the problem, then feature the problem. You know what the church at Corinth did? They got puffed up about it. They actually shouted, we're a gracious church. We're graceful. We're filled with love. We're so loving that we let people just sit in our congregation and go straight to hell thinking that they're okay. That's how loving we are. It's for the same reason why we don't tell someone about the love of God and the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. Because, listen, we're protecting ourselves from possible embarrassment, so we'll pat them on the back and never get to the punchline that saves their soul for our own comfort. We never tell them about Jesus. The church at Corinth would not confront anything. They were worldly wise. They were enlightened. Listen, they were a tolerant church, as though that were a virtue, when in reality it is a scourge. You can't love anyone and divorce yourself of the truth. Sexual immorality. There's a spirituality to our sexuality. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, Jesus said it. He says, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh? Listen, so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. There is a spirituality. Notice this. Jesus said it, that marriage is between a male and a female. And marriage is them becoming one flesh. I did a wedding last night. The couple that stood here, they met each other. They began talking and sharing each other's ideas and views and all that stuff. And so, number one, they are emotionally bonding and getting to know one another, right? You guys, are you with me? You're so quiet. Okay, so when you get to know someone, you are emotionally connecting with them. That's normal. That's good. And then number two, because they were both Christians, the process, which is slower because you have to test it longer, that's why nobody should get married in 5 minutes. How do you know who are you marrying? You need to go through that emotional bonding period, and then you need to know about their spirituality, their spiritual part. Who are they spiritually? How do you know they're born again? How do you know that they're a Christian? How do you know they love God more than you? Listen, girls, guys, you want to marry a man or a woman who loves God more than you? Trust me. That's how it works. Thirdly, is what happened to that, I would imagine, I wasn't there. After that couple says, I do, they get in the car and they drive off to their honeymoon suite. What happens? Well, Pastor, don't, please don't. What happens? They consummate the marriage. When the two become one flesh, it's not just talking about them coming together in physical union. It's the physical union is the outward announcement of the internal bonding of these two people, that when they've come together before God, church, listen, do you think they stood here last night with the family and friends, and they were so cute and everything, and the flowers, and they're placing the ring on each other's finger, and it's all so cute, and God was in that, and then they get to the room, and God is in the hallway, you know, waiting, like, okay, now that's the, I don't go there. Are you crazy? God was there, man. Don't raise your hand. Do you have a Christian marriage? And do you have a Christian home? This is my strong belief. The Bible tells us that as husbands and wives, it demands of us that each other, we're to satisfy each other always. We're not to be looking and going after anyone else. And God will bless that obedience. And the union between a male and a female husband and wife, it should be done in such a way that even when you are, as I said a couple Wednesday nights ago, even when you're done wrestling with one another, you should be able to embrace one another and say, Lord, thank you. You are awesome. God, you are awesome. Why? Because God has created this. It is a spiritual activity. It is that thing that bridges a world to a world, one seen and one not seen. And I want to talk about that. The dangers of it carrying a great weight happens when we do this stuff outside of the will of God. And we wind up hurting ourselves physically, emotionally, spiritually. Listen to this. Satan knows the power of God-ordained intimate relationship. Satan knows this. So, number one, and that emotional bonding, Satan hates it. He doesn't want two Christians to come together, let alone two human beings, and under the context of God. Number two, there's this sense that Satan knows, listen everybody, husbands and wives, you listen carefully. Satan knows that when you are together physically, there is an emotional bonding and a physical bonding that builds a wall of protection against your marriage being attacked. Did you know that? Many marriages today are in peril because one or the other of the husbands and wives have not joined the battle in sealing off the world from coming into the house. And then spiritually unites. It spiritually unites the two together before the Lord. Emotionally binds them, physically builds a wall around them, and spiritually unites them. This is incredibly powerful. When we don't do our relationships, marriage, according to God's plan, it carries a huge weight. Knowingly or unknowingly, it's the spirituality of sexuality, listen to this, that is attractive to the human being. Listen, you don't know this, maybe you do know this. In God-ordained, God-blessed sex, there is an acceptance, there's a love exchange, there is a unity, there's a peace, there's a joy, and there's a safety that causes a marriage to flourish. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, you can write it down. Genesis 2:20 says, so Adam gave names to all of the cattle and the birds of the air and all the beasts of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him, thank God. And the Lord caused a great deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, from Adam, he made into woman. And listen, God brought her to Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father. Ah, Jesus quotes this. Interesting. Jesus believed in the Old Testament. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Chapter 3 goes on and says, the very next verse, it goes on and says that Satan manifested himself using a serpent. And he basically comes to Eve and says, what up, girl? Has God said indeed, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Isn't it interesting that the last time you see Adam and Eve blessed before God is that they are together. And then I don't know what, Adam takes a giraffe for a walk or whatever he's doing. He's not there. And the serpent comes up. Satan possesses the serpent, comes up and starts talking to Eve and challenges God's authority. And right now, in the context of sexual activity in the human life, you will either yield to God's authority or your own authority. And when you yield to your own authority, you're going to get hurt. When you yield to God and his authority, you're going to be blessed. Number two, mark this down. Sexual sins pack a greater burden. They're not only a huge weight, they pack a greater burden. Sexual sin does. Look at verse 1 when he says that the sexual immorality, which is not even mentioned among the Gentiles, is that a man has his stepmother, is not even talked about in the world. That the world has a morality that the church at Corinth hasn't dealt with. Sexual sins pack a greater burden. This is freaky. By the way, the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 18, it gives you the list of what is approved sex to God. And you can read that later. But one of the verses there says, you shall not be with a stepfather or mother or sister or brother or relative. So listen to this. Sexual sins pack a greater burden, church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, I'll read it out of the New Living Translation because it's just so contemporary. Listen to this. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which belongs to Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? Isn't that a weird thing? People, oh, no, you don't. It's just for the night. It's just for the moment. It's just a stand-up. It's just a thing. It's just a thrill. It's just a rush. Oh, everybody's doing it. Oh, I have this appetite. I have it now. I want to satisfy this now. Do you understand? Listen, everyone in the room knows exactly what I'm talking about. You can be a Christian or a non-Christian. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You will either yield to the appetite that is yelling at you, and you will use someone under any guise, under any circumstance, to fulfill your own flesh desire, or you will resist that and take it to God. Every human being faces this. What will you do with it? We live in a world that does this. Now listen, he goes on, 1 Corinthians 6, finishing off verse 16, he says that he becomes one body with her. For the scripture says the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Verse 17 talks about a true believer. Flee from sexual sin. Run from it. Sexual immorality. Flee from it. No other sin is clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. That means, listen, you can tell a lie and survive. It's still sin, yes. But when you commit sexual sin, something happens to you in body, soul, and spirit. Why? Because it is a spiritual sexuality. You've been created in the image of God. And you and I live in a sexually charged age. Every type of sexual abuse is up, law enforcement tells us. It's increasing. Did you know that? Let me tell you something. Boy, am I going to sound like a dinosaur. The world is so stupid that the data is in front of them that when pornography became legal, abuse went up. And then internet pornography is now protected. It's a multi-billion dollar business, and the nation needs it to tax it. It needs it. The nation needs it. Our politicians are telling us, oh, we need the taxation from it. You know why we need the taxation from it? Because we don't have God anymore. So we're just of what brings in money. Oh, that makes it right. What if pornography leads to child abuse? Well, you know, the money's coming in. What if child abuse leads to a dysfunctional, destroyed next generation? Well, as long as the money's coming in, our culture is sick and out of control. It is wrong. The danger of sexual sin is that it packs a greater burden on the soul of someone. Why is it? If you think I'm making this up, if you're a humanist and you're in here right now and you think I'm making this stuff up, then why is it that you held off, or that day came when you yielded yourself outside of God's prescribed definition for sexual activity? And why did you feel so bad? You're going to come back to me and say, because you rotten Christians, I had what you guys preach in my head bouncing around, and that's why I felt bad. It's your fault I felt bad about being with Bubbles at 16 out behind 7-Eleven. It's your fault. Did you know that's what's going on right now? That's what's exactly happening right now in our culture. It's the Judeo-Christian Puritanism that is causing people to have odd feelings about being liberally sexual with anybody. Even though science tells us, Dr. C. Everett Koop, remember him? He was the Surgeon General under Ronald Reagan. Listen to this. This will ruin your day. Or if you're me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't apply to my life. If you have sex with one person, their deposit of protein into your body will remain a biological, chemical fingerprint in your chemistry for 7 years. Did you know that? One person. Did you have sex with somebody last week? Outside of marriage? Their chemistry is inside of you for 7 years. Going around your system, communicating to your system the toxins that were in that person's body. Did you know that? You want to know one of the dangers about AIDS is all about? You want to know one of the great dangers about AIDS? AIDS is an amazing, HIV is an amazing warrior. It is a terrorist in the chemical world. Because you know what it does? It disguises itself. It hides behind proteins. And it will come up and it will approach, and it's coated, and it will come up to the T4 helper cell. It's part of your immune system. And it gives it a little, comes up and fellowships with it. I'm just like you. And while it's close to your immune system, it goes like this. It sticks out a little knife and pokes into it. And it begins to release its insidious poison that begins to destroy your immune system. Could take years. This is a dangerous time you and I live in. Oh, but you know what, Pastor? That I practice safe sex activity. Impossible. You can practice the safest sex activity, and it doesn't protect your spirit or your emotions. And then what do you say to that? My heart is so callous and so cold, I can be with anybody I want and just move on. The words are yours. You have become so calloused and so cold that you will meet a girl someday, or you will meet a guy someday, and that's the person that you will want forever. Trust me, it's going to happen. And though you want that relationship, you will never be able to maintain that relationship. Because according to Romans chapter 1, you have received within you the due recompense of your transgression. There is an emotional, spiritual, physical effect that sexual activity does to a human being. And our kids are being lied to in our public schools. They're learning how to put condoms on at what age now? First grade, second grade, they're being taught that it's okay to have homosexual feelings towards another person. You put that in someone's head. If you tell someone, you know what, it's okay to think this or think that, you instill it. That's why the system has beat that drum into our kids' heart, because Satan's real and knocks on those doors and put those thoughts out there. And that kid now's got to deal with that thing. When a kid is young, you can suggest anything to a child. If you tell a kid, you were born to be an airline pilot, you were born to be an airline pilot, you were born to be an airline pilot, guess what the probability is that kid growing up to be an airline pilot is? It's a huge burden that sexual sins pack into a life. And in our age, Satan seems to be winning the war on this exposure. Crime scenes, murder scenes, abuse, all up in the area of sexual molestation. TSA, airport security. You know what I'm talking about? Is that a joke? That was a bad joke, huh? If you've never been molested, just buy an airline ticket. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now concerning the things which I wrote, that you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He means sexually. You shake a woman's hand. Guys are wired funny, though. Let me tell you. Now I know I'm going to get one guy out of this crowd email me and say, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's because you're a weirdo. I'm talking about normal people right now. Guys, listen. Guys are wired. Hey, girls, I'm going to give you some inside information. You better write this down. Because it's going to cause me, I am going to be revealing secrets of the man's domain that he doesn't want you to know. If a man sits down or shakes the hand of a woman or whatever, there is the atmosphere in a man. I'm not saying it happens every time. I'm saying the atmosphere is one that is charged, where when Paul says it's not good for a man to touch a woman, he's talking about in a cuddly way, inappropriate way. Or a way that could lead to thoughts. Now you say, that's impossible, because a guy, what's the stats? That out of every 60 seconds, like every 7 seconds, a man has some sort of a sexual thought. In 60 seconds, in a minute, there's X amount of... We could be watching the baseball game, and something sexual comes screaming across the universe and hits us right in the head, and it just goes, tink! Huh? And our wives go, what is with you? You were just yelling at the umpire at the baseball game, and now you want to go wrestle?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Saints, Sex, and Sinners. It's a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Again, the title, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners is available in a 3-CD set just for you. Now, you might think of Saints, Sex, and Sinners as a worldview study, if you will, in the area of one of God's most sacred ordinances that goes all the way back to creation. Here's the offer we have for you. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners, for your tax-deductible gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. It's a 3-CD set. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. You'll know right where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Here's our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.